Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Welcome to episode 2 of Truth and Circumstances. Today we're going to discuss the question, how can I get my husband to lead me?
Right. We are, and I do want to clarify that you are married to a woman, so we're not, this is not your question.
Right.
This is just a generic woman.
Thanks for clearing that up.
In any congregation, right. Yeah, we're not quite that relevant, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We're countercultural in the sense that we're doing things that the culture would not approve of. Like most people in our culture would not ask this question: how do I get my husband to lead me? But in a church like ours, there is this strong desire among wives for their husbands to lead them spiritually, and it's a question that's very close to my heart for a couple of reasons. First of all, I did my doctoral work on this, so I've thought a lot about it. Second, I put my own wife in the position of having to ask this question early in our marriage. She grew up in a home with a great spiritual leader. Her dad is a top shelf, very godly man. So he pointed his wife and kids to Christ every day. And so when she married me, she went from the Elvis of spiritual leadership to this tone-deaf monkey in me, because I was just completely worthless. And
that's hard to imagine,
isn't it? No, I'm serious. There was just nothing going on. And it's not that I didn't know anything that I should do. I mean, it did occur to me I could be praying with her, but there, I just didn't do anything. But the Lord used her eventually to turn my heart around, and it was a big turning point in my life spiritually. So it's an important question, and one which I have some personal experience with. As a side note, before we get into how to actually deal with this issue, we've got a couple of sermons on our website, providencebiblefellowship.com. Back in January 2015, you probably remember these sermons.
I do.
Focusing on mainly on male leadership, but we also touched on female submission. And the first of the two messages was on why men stink at spiritual leadership, and why, to a lesser extent, why women stink at submission. The second message shows how the gospel reverses those two things, so that as we become more like Christ, men will be better leaders, women will be better followers.
Awesome.
Yes.
Well, I think it's only natural that we start with the understanding that you can't make someone else obey.
Yeah. I have a feeling we're going to be saying this a lot on this podcast. You can't make someone else change. That's what we all want a lot in our lives. We want somebody else to change. Our little kids want each other to change when they have problems with each other. People who come in for counseling at the church inevitably want somebody else to change. But the starting place has to be a recognition that I can't make somebody else change. I've only got really direct control over my own response to the situation. So a wife who has a husband who doesn't lead her needs to, first of all, recognize he may not ever lead her, and she needs to come at that from a biblical frame of mind. And a passage that comes to mind is 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul has that thorn in the flesh, and he prays diligently that the Lord would remove that from him, but the Lord doesn't. And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. So a wife with a husband who's not leading her should start at the place where she realizes he may not ever lead me. I can't make him lead me. And if he never does, the Lord's grace is going to be sufficient to see me through this. That's the place to start.
Yeah, that's helpful, Greg. Well, secondly, then, I mean, just talk to him, right?
Yeah, and for some people, talking about anything in marriage is like a last resort. I don't know why this is, but many of us don't want to talk about things. But it should be the first resort for for any problem that we have. For a lot of us, and wives are certainly not going to be an exception to this, they just want their husbands to know what to do and just do it. And I think Hollywood has kind of filled our minds and hearts with a lot of these lies that, oh, wouldn't it be just romantic if my husband just knows what I want and he just does it? But that's just, it doesn't happen.
Right.
And the biblical model is talk to each other, speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4, this is a command, speak the truth in love, have conversations with one another, because when you don't, then you have expectations that are unstated expectations. Unstated expectations are precursors to unfulfilled expectations. Unfulfilled expectations eventually become frustrations, disappointments, and heartache and all that stuff. So the way to get ahead of all of that is to just have conversations to begin with.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now, had I not been married, I'd had no idea what you just said. Right. But I completely understand.
Yeah, so your last few years are flashing before your eyes. Oh,
yes.
All of these immediate examples from your own
without
life.
Without a doubt. Yeah. So, well, Greg, what about those women who think they can't confront their husbands because that wouldn't be submissive?
Yeah, now for some people that's going to seem like a strange idea, but there are a lot of women out there who think that. They think, well, God has called me to be submissive, so it would be inappropriate for me to go to my husband and tell him what he needs to do. But here's a key point that we're going to be coming back to over and over as we talk about how to think biblically and how to reason from the Scriptures. You can't reason from the Scriptures if you don't know them, and a lot of us have a habit of reading from the Bible incompletely. So we'll have kind of our pet section of the Bible that we like, and we only read that. We don't read it across the board, and then we don't read it frequently, and we don't read it repetitively. When we don't do that, we've only got this little piece of God's Word in our mind, but we really need all of it to be bathing our mind in order for our minds to change and in order for us to know how to handle a certain situation. And in this particular situation, if we have kind of a broad understanding of the Bible, then we will realize there are more passages that speak to this issue than just those that specifically deal with husbands and wives. So obviously we've got Ephesians 5 and other places that deal with the relationship between a man and a wife, but there is a more foundational relationship between a husband and wife than just their roles as husband and wives. And I should have said this earlier, but we're making the assumption as we're answering this question, we're talking about two believing people, a believing husband, a believing wife. So the more foundational relationship that they have is brother and sister in Christ. And that opens up a whole other range of scriptures to us, particularly all of these one another commands, like 1 Thessalonians 5:14, which says, "We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." So the wife who has a husband who is not leading her, she has a brother in Christ who is idle, and she's commanded to one another him, to admonish him. And when he's faint-hearted, she's commanded to encourage him. When he's weak, she's commanded to help him. He's a brother in Christ, and she should think of him that way. It's not just that he's her husband, and she just has these commands that pertain to him as her husband, but he is her brother in Christ, and there's all of these one another commands. So she ought not think that the command to submit to her husband causes all of these other scriptures to be thrown out the window, but no, there's a way to look at all of these in their appropriate context and see, well, I've got a responsibility to him to lovingly put the scriptures in front of him and say, this is what the scriptures call you to do. So she should talk to her husband about this. It is not a lack of submission to do that.
Right. I mean, yeah. If you really think about it, if you're not one anothering with your spouse, you have no hope for one anothering with other people you don't live with day by day.
Oh, that's an excellent point, and something that we talk about, especially in premarital counseling, is when God puts you in a marriage with somebody else, he is making that other person the primary instrument for sanctification in your life. You know, we talk about that God has given the church to the church to help the church be the church. Well, your spouse is the most immediate member of the body in your life to help you with your sanctification. And so if with that person you're ignoring all of these one another commands, then you're leaving out the most immediate and consistent opportunity to obey those commands and to benefit from having those commands obeyed on your behalf, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
So you have to have your spouse, you and your spouse working together to obey those commands in one another's lives. It's part of being the church.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, Greg, what about on the opposite end of things, those women who go too far and are too vocal?
Oh, I doubt that that's ever a problem. But
No. But
let's pretend that maybe there might be a woman who is too vocal in expressing her displeasure to her husband. So that and honestly, here at Providence, I don't know that we have that. We've got such godly women here, but
my wife included. I have to put that in there.
Certainly, but if that was a problem. You don't also want to go to the other side and be that quarreling wife that's described in Proverbs. Proverbs 27:15 and 16 reads, "A continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. To restrain her is to restrain the wind or to grasp oil in one's right hand."
It makes me think of Chinese water torture.
Yeah,
slow dripping on the head.
That is the biblical equivalent of Chinese water torture.
Ooh.
And it's the idea is this wife is not helping in anything. This wife is actually hurting the situation. So there is a balance to be struck here. You don't want to be silent so that you're not obeying the one another commands, but you also don't want to climb on your husband's back and ride him like a bronco over this,
right.
Because you've got these commands to be respectful. And I'm reminded of 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct." And I think a lot of people would say, well, that pertains only to husbands that aren't believers. And I think that's possible. But the wording is that even if some do not obey the word, the picture is a husband who is not in obedience. And I think that would apply in this situation. So to the wife who has a believing husband who is not leading her, I think a proper balance is for her to have a conversation with him about it, but not ride him about it. Be respectful and allow her godly conduct and love to be used by the Holy Spirit, along with that respectful confrontation, to be used by the Holy Spirit to turn his heart and cause him to want to lead her and be obedient to the Scriptures.
Oh, that's so helpful. Thanks, Greg. Well, we're running out of time. I think next week we should pick up on, we made the heading, the point, to just talk to him. Next week we'll pick up and say, what might that conversation look like?
Absolutely. We'll look forward to that. We'll see you then.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.